I thank you for the privilege to have me to speak and share, to proclaim his word. I titled my sermon today, Thanksgiving Warning. My text is Matthew 7. And you say, how in the world do you get Thanksgiving warning preaching on Matthew 7, 15 to 20? Well, it's very easy. It's who I am. I never avoid a verse, and I never interrupt a season. I always preach the next verse. There are a couple times when I preach sermons, I have a sermon prepared, and I saw who came in, and I began to argue with God, and I said, God, do you want to change the sermon now? And he said, no, you'll be faithful to me. You'll preach what we prepared together. So the way I do a Thanksgiving sermon is I just put the title, Thanksgiving, in the title. And become Thanksgiving Warning. And, you know, we are being warned in this. It's amazing what's going on in the world. And I want to read God's word. And if you're able to stand, I'd like you to stand for the reading of God's word. I have a prayer, and then I'll deliver the message with God's help. And the word of God reads in Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Father, help us to hear your word. Jesus, you are the truth. Your Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Your book is the book of truth. In it, there's no error. You are God with us, impossible to lie. You speak the truth. And here you give your people a warning on the Sermon on the Mount years ago. Help us to hear it today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. In the season of Thanksgiving, we're facing great dangers and many false narratives and many false movements with many false teachers and many false leaders, resulting in an apostate church. And the apostate church woke Jesus. And there are many denominations, including Southern Baptists, as I am. I live for Southern Baptists, know how I feel about some of the things happening in our denomination. It's real serious, folks. Because Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit guides us in all truth.
Amen.
And we just need to hear what Jesus had to say. We live in a time we call evil good, and good evil. We put life with darkness, and darkness for light. Bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. We live in that time. And you know what God, the Lord God, says to that people who do that? Woe. It's recorded many places where Jesus said, woe. Woe is a funeral dirge. So God says, woe to people who call evil good and good evil. Jesus clearly said to his disciples on the Sermon Mount, beware of false prophets. He did not stutter. And note, it wasn't singular. It was plural. And the wolves were not singular, but they were plural. It's amazing. He said, beware of those people. The Bible is clear. And by the way, that's the first time that word beware, a strong word, was used in this New Testament. When Jesus used it, beware. You know, the Bible is a book of warnings. I'm always amazed. You know, we all want to draw comfort, and we do draw comfort from God's Word. But I'm telling you, the Bible, God's Word, is a book of warnings. And we need to heed the warnings. The other day I preached in our church when Jesus looked at the disciples, and the disciples were here in the Sermon on the Mount, and people were listening in on a sermon that Jesus was giving to his disciples. And he looked at the disciples and said, "You being evil would not give a rock or a piece of bread to your son." Isn't that amazing that Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "You being evil." Now, Jesus didn't mix words. He never spoke an idle word. You may not agree with what Jesus said, but I guarantee one thing, Jesus is right. And what you can disagree with being what he did right, because Jesus never lied. He is the truth. Jesus said, "Be not deceived," many times. That's a warning. Be not deceived. The Bible declares man's heart is very deceitful. You can find the prophet Jeremiah. We can deceive ourselves. You know, you can believe a lie and live a lie and be very sincere about it. You can. The heart is more deceitful than all else, the Bible says. There's nothing more deceitful than the human heart according to God's Word. And only one person can heal the sin-sick heart, deceitful heart. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're prone to deception. And sometimes we're like the last day, folks. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I like to read this passage. I'm not going to read all the passages I could read. But I'm going to read this one. And I'm sure Steve heard this passage many times at ordination sermons. I've preached a number of ordination sermons in my life. And this passage I often use when I preach to young preachers who are entering the ministry. And it's found in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4. The Apostle Paul was preaching to Timothy. "Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Short term, warn. Warn. Warn people. For the time will come, and we live in that time, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? God's Word, the Bible. Not Lutheran, not Catholic, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, the Bible. The Bible is a sound doctrine, God's Word. "But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, false prophets," false teachers, "having itching ears." I can name a few preachers right now off the top of my head to qualify for that. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Now, you can believe what you want to believe, but you can be sincerely wrong. You know, years ago, there was a widow in this town called Mrs. Carly Simon, I think was her name, first name. Was it right, Mrs. Simon? Donna Simon, thank you. Donna Simon. My mind failed me. Donna Simon. And Donna Simon, she was a character. And we were walking through this community together one day, and Donna, I think it was on Jameson Way. And I asked Donna to come to church. Donna, in her way of doing things, she said, "I'm not going down there with all them there hypocrites." I said, "Donna, there's room for one more. Come on in." And Donna, that's the only time I left Donna speechless. She couldn't believe what I said to her. She never did darken the door to church, but I did have a lot of time with her. You know, one thing we need to remember, though, you see, in order to be not get caught in a false narrative and not get caught with a false prophet, we need to be fat people. You say, what's fat people? Now, be careful, Daniel, what you're saying. Amen to. But it stands for, F stands for faithful. A stands for available. And T stands for be teachable. And you really have got to be faithful, available, and teachable if you're going to be like Peter said, growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to Him be glory both now and forever. You've got to be faithful, available, and teachable. If you think you know it all, you deceive yourself. But the Bible says when a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, I'm being bold like I am. I'm not being shy. I've talked to many a person that thought they were something. And I have a verse from the Bible for you. You do? Yeah. When a man thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I detect a whole lot of deception right here. And smile. True. Friends, we're apart from God, we're nothing. We're somebody today because we're God's people. That makes us. We need to be faithful, available, and teachable. A lot of people are living clueless. Living clueless. You don't want to live clueless. You want to live wise. You know, there's a scripture verse in Psalm. I'd like to share this with you. Psalm chapter 50. This is amazing. Psalm 50. And who wrote the Psalm 50? The choir director, David's choir director. I've always been amazed where this psalm is located at. And you can read the rest of the whole psalm. I just read one verse. And I'm convinced that the choir director wrote this for David. Now you think about meddling with the king. He said, hi, and Psalm 51, the great repentance psalm, is right next to it. And here's what he wrote. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee. You hate instruction, David, and you cast my word behind you. He said, how did David do that? Now, Asaph, the choir director, wrote that. That's in Psalm 50. Psalm 51 is a great psalm of repentance. What did David do? Well, it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. At that point of Bathsheba, he hated that instruction. Thou shalt not kill. At that point of instruction, he sent Uriah to the front of the line, and knowing he'd be killed. He wanted to make sure he was killed. And thou shalt not steal. He stole another man's wife. David was a thief, an adulteress, and a murderer. Wow. And Thomas wrote, thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. That was David's choir director. And Psalm 51 now, let's run to the healing part. And Psalm 51, it's a great psalm there. It said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And when you do that, you know, when they prayed that David knew who God was. He is creator. He created the heavens and earth. He took chaos and made earth and heaven, all of creation. And David knew that God can do that. He can take my old dirty heart and create a clean heart. Wow. And said, Lord, if you'll fix me up and heal me up, then I'll be able to teach transgressors your way. And of course, God did it with David. It's amazing in Scripture. Scriptures are warnings. Warnings. Imagine. And so I say that to you. Do you hate God's instructions? I mean, sometimes we have selective application of the word. Nothing is impossible with God. He can create a clean heart in you. Gee, that's a miracle. Take your old dirty heart and you pray like David did. Oh, God, create in me a clean heart. And God does it. Wow. What a blessing. the blessing on this Thanksgiving season to have a clean heart and be in fellowship with God and call God's Father. So he said, beware of false teachers here. To deceive. What, false teachers are people who deceive and they confuse. And God is not the author of confusion. When Jesus said, have you not read from the beginning, God made them male and female? He didn't stutter. Word, have you not read, he said? And that's a good question. Have you not read? Have you? See, when you know, you say, when it's amazing how people say, well, there's exceptions. Like Jesus said, ma'am, sir, you're talking about less than 1% exception. I know we live in a fallen world, and people can be born wrong. But God still created male and female. And not, don't get confused about this. But see, that's the issue. Do you agree with a false narrative that says many genders? Or do you agree with Jesus? See, false prophets come in many places. They're in political, they're in institutions, they're in colleges, they're professors. It's not just in the church. And they destroy people, and people believe lies. They have a form of godliness, the Bible says, but they're in sheep's clothing. And it says these sheep's clothing, what they look for is somebody to devour. Satan wants to devour people. And it says they're ravenous wolves. And what would really happen in the countries, it still happens. Some sheep will wander from the flock. And there's that old ravenous wolf. That little sheep is all by itself. And that wolf takes the opportunity to devour that sheep. He doesn't even say a blessing. He just eats, devours it. The Bible is full of warnings and warnings. Sheep going astray, devoured by the ravenous wolf. The Lord says, beware of that. Beware of those who look good, sound good, talk good, but are false. The Bible even said the devil dresses up like an angel. Angel of light. The Bible says in Isaiah that if people are doing this, they don't have light in them. In church, the Bible says, you are the light, Jesus said. You are the salt. And one of my favorite sayings about myself, stay salty. Stay salty. Years ago, I was in out in the middle of the desert. I was a cowboy preacher. You know, I was so cowboy. I had a black suit, black dog, black truck, black hat, black boots. And the city leaders wanted to say, will you be our constable? I said, no, I'm just getting well as a preacher. I was in a church of rough on me. And I said, I'm not going to be a constable. But it says this, I preached this sermon, this passage, right when I left the First Baptist Church of Hawthorne, Nevada. It said, take heed, therefore, unto yourself, to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Friends, you're special. You're the church. And he bought you with a price. His blood. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just through the blood. Shed blood of Jesus. The Bible says the appointed man wants to die, and after this comes the judgment. The Bible says that we have, by his grace and by his blood, we're forgiven of our sins. And it says, for I know this, after my departure, I'm leaving the church. Now, I made this personal. Paul was saying this about the church he was at, the church of Ephesus. He says, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And that's possible churches this happened to. I can tell you stories, but I can't move on. Also, your own selves shall man arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. I confronted people. I've seen this happen. Things, the wolves come in and devour the flock. I've seen it. Wickedness. The Holy Spirit, my friends, the Spirit of truth, will guide us all into truth. By the way, I preached that sermon 34 years ago. The last sermon I preached before I came to El Jobim Baptist Church. The way across the country, we were like Beverly Hillbillies. I was a poor Baptist preacher. Had a big old U-Haul. I went across country and had a small U-Haul behind me. Come back, I had a truck, huge, big as they could get. And I had a trailer behind me. You may remember me driving into El Jobim, Pat. And I had an old 52 GMC truck on the back of that trailer. And I left the dogs at home, back in Hawthorne, though. And we'd go through across America in that truck and that situation with my family. I had a car, too, beat up old Ford. And people would go by, they were all sitting in their rocking chairs in these certain cities and on the back rows. And you can see them do this. Wow. that is something to behold. Is that a circus going through there? Oh, beware of the false prophets. Jesus said, though, listen, you can know them. You can know them. You don't have to be ignorant. You can know them. You know them by your fruits. And he said, how do you know them by the fruits? Well, I said, if it's rotten, don't eat of it. A bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree bears good fruit. So be a discerner. And know your word, and you'll be able to discern these people. Because they say things, well, that's not what the Bible says. And when you know your Bible, you know that. And you're responsible to know your Bible. Listen. Here's bad fruit. Atheism. Humanism. Communism. Fascism. Racism. Marxism. Socialism. That's all bad fruit. And man, our country's full of it today. And it is destroying people. It's destroying our young people. It's amazing what's happening by their fruit. You know, there's a lady who used to live here named Mrs. Kingston, Helen Kingston. Her husband was there in El Jobim Baptist before I was there. And Helen Kingston had an orange tree right beside her house. I think it's still there. And I said, Mrs. Kingston, you have an orange tree full of oranges. I was hoping she'd offer some to me. So Bobby, you wouldn't want them. I said, why? He said, because they're sour oranges. So a tree full of oranges. But it's bad fruit. I said, you're right, Mrs. Kingston. Thank you for protecting me. I'm glad I never stole one of your oranges. So, my friends, the Bible warns us, be aware of the good fruit and the bad fruit. The last point I want to make says, your fruit reveals, are you evil or good? Yeah. Let's go back and revisit that one moment. Matthew 7. It reveals whether you're good or evil. Every tree that brings forth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. A good tree brings forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by the fruits you shall know them.